WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song.
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hottie.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host,
they've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
You can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I knew you'd come.
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, WildTalkRadio.com, or RackRadioShow.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. Get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBook.com as well. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, Gerwick.net. RackRadioShow on Twitter, at WildTalkRadio, at Lindsay Ward, is how you can interact or come to the websites just recently mentioned. We are streaming live on Periscope at WildTalkRadio or on TuneIn Radio. Search WildTalk Radio Network. We're here live for the first time in a couple weeks. This show is live because last week it wasn't live, but we were on it. We're back.
I'm back from vacation.
She is back from vacation. That is an accurate statement of fact.
Yes. Last week we recorded because, well, it was my birthday, and I went to go celebrate my birthday. So, wasn't here with you guys, but we are back this week. As he said, we're live, we're large, we're in charge, and, well, we have a lot to talk about.
We do, but I have to open the show with a spoiler. So I'm playing a sounder, and then I'm going to drop the spoiler.
Okay.
Spoiler alert!
I killed Thanos.
But did you survive the Infinity War?
We're not going to talk about it.
That's not what I asked.
We are not going to talk about it.
For those of you that don't know what he's talking about, Rock's a little addicted to Fortnite right now, and they have a little thing going on where, hey, you can find the Infinity Gauntlet in the game, and you can turn into Thanos for the game, and you can go around killing everybody. And, well, Thanos can be killed, and if you kill him, hey, guess what? You get the Infinity Gauntlet, and you become Thanos. And, well, Rock did, in fact, kill Thanos.
But I got killed trying to get the gauntlet. And anyway, we got news to talk about tonight on the show.
We have news. We have notes. We have NXT. We have SmackDown Tweet of the Week. And we're talking WWE Backlash, which aired this past Sunday on the WWE Network. So, like we said, a lot to get into. And we're going to jump right into the news, but to reference over at Gerwick.net. And, well, we have to talk about probably the biggest news of the week. maybe, possibly, at least for me, because it's cool, because it happened while I was in the city. That is that everybody's favorite demon from the depths of hell, yes. The one, the only, the Kane, who is now your friendly neighborhood mayoral candidate, Republican mayoral candidate in the city of Knoxville, Glenn Jacobs. He won his primary. He's on the ballot for November. Very proud of him.
You forgot to mention one thing.
What?
Former guest of this show.
Yes, former guest of this show. Kane, a.k.a. Glenn Jacobs.
There you go. Now you got it. Now you got it right. You got to get it all in there. He's a WWE champion, soon to be probably WWE Hall of Famer. He's a mayoral candidate in Knoxville and former guest of the round. The most important part of it all.
Hey!
Just saying.
Yeah, so congratulations to Kane. In his defeat of his opponents, he won by a mere 17 votes. A little surprised he didn't go to a runoff, but I'm not going to argue.
All ballots were cast and counted for, so there was no need for a runoff.
Well, no, but in some states, if you don't have the overwhelming majority, you have to have a runoff. Well, at least that's how it is here, if you don't have an overwhelming majority.
Well, they did not want to go to hell and fight the demon, so they just said, let him pass along his way.
Like you do.
Anyway, never mind, move on.
Moving on from there, congratulations are in order for Kevin Owens as he signed a 5-year extension with WWE. There is no word on the money, but he is apparently signed for a nice chunk of change and a few perks, I imagine. So congratulations to him.
Yeah, that's awesome. And he's planning on retiring with WWE, so that's pretty good. It shows they have a lot of faith in him, despite what people might think.
They have a lot of faith in him, and he has a lot of faith in WWE. So, and we get more Kevin Owens, which I'm not going to complain about.
Yeah, he's going nowhere.
And as Kevin Owens re-signs his deal, we see the completed set of the Four Horsewomen starting with the WWE, as they have signed to the Performance Center. Jessamyn Duke and Marina Shafir are both, sorry if I screwed up your names, please don't come beat me up, are now training at the PC, so we'll see how long it takes them to get up and running here.
Imagine that, officially now training at the PC. They've been unofficially training for a while. They're officially training now. You know what's coming. Eventually. One day.
But not today.
Not today, not tomorrow, not next week. But one day. Say, woo!
Woo! Well, speaking of woos, let's get into the Blame Brats.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulders snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
Oh, God.
It's been a week. Brent, you need to calm down. It's okay. You're good.
Rob's had a few weeks now, and he's sort of calmed down. So, Brent has sort of taken over, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brent needs to catch up. He's feeling left out.
Anyway, what's up?
So, up first, we have the big strong boy in one half of British strong styler dial, Tyler Bate, out with a shoulder injury.
Hashtag blame Brent.
No ETA on his return. I'm not even sure what he did.
He was at an indie show, so we'll see.
He's still posting leg pictures on Instagram, though, so it can't be that bad.
So what you're saying is, he has not skipped leg day.
No, he has not been skipping leg day, although he could afford to skip leg day with just looking at him.
But he still hasn't skipped leg day. He may skip shoulder day, arm day, but leg day. Anyway, keep going.
That was pretty much the point of his post is, bad shoulder, that's okay, leg day! So his legs are going to be even larger than they are now by the time he gets better. Up next, we have Brandi Rhodes.
Broken clavicle.
She underwent surgery today, so I hope she recovers and is A-okay. Because that's not fun.
Hashtag blame Brent.
No, she wrestled 2 matches with it, too.
I know, so go her. Probably not the best idea, but
Probably wasn't the best idea.
But you gotta get it.
You gotta be hashtag indie tough.
Yep, and she's indie tough. This next one's gonna hurt with Tino Sabatelli.
Torn pectoral muscle.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Ow. Ow. Just ow.
And now we have a twofer.
We have a twofer? Oh, yes, we do. We do. We have a twofer. And it's not even a match set. Charlotte Flair.
First.
A busted implant.
Hashtag blame Brent.
And she lost some teeth tonight at a house show.
Hashtag blame Brent.
That's what we call a twofer. Get it? Get it?
Ha 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 ha. You're so funny.
I know. I'm so clever. Toothfer.
It's a toothfer. I'm so
anyway, Charlotte, reason we know about Charlotte's ruptured chesticle is because she was pulled from a Comic-Con signing in June where she was having surgery, and they sort of slipped that, well, she's having surgery, and that's why she's not going to be involved. So, yeah, that sucks for her. She apparently ruptured it before WrestleMania, agreed to do the match at WrestleMania, and is continuing on.
Which means one thing, that it's not silicone. It's got to be saline, which is why she's waiting as long as she can probably to get the surgery done. Because if it was silicone, then they would almost have to immediately operate on her to prevent any kind of poisoning from occurring. So it's got to be a saline implant, and they're able to have a little time on it. The teeth is unfortunate.
First day of the tour. Always unfortunate to get hurt.
It's always somebody. It is always somebody that gets hurt the first day of the tour.
Always.
Last time it was Bray Wyatt, just saying. So yeah, so we hope Charlotte gets better and she comes home and gets her teeth and her boob fixed. Because you don't want to be walking around all uneven.
And she just had surgery on her teeth.
Well, didn't she lose one and she had to get it fixed or something like that?
I don't remember exactly what it was, but she just recently, right before during the Mixed Match Challenge, she had it taken care of. So I don't know exactly what's going on, but yeah, that's a thing.
So up next from there, well, our favorite show, Total Divas, has been renewed for 2 more seasons. Yay!
Hey!
If you want to, you know, keep up with Total Divas and hear our amazing, awesome recaps, you should totally check out the Rack Extra Total Divas, which will be returning when the show returns later this year. You can also check out the Rack Extra Total Bellas, Rack Extra Reviews, Timeless, and the Royals Editions. Over at where?
RackRadioShow.com.
Ding! Cheap plug.
Also, the Rack Extra Reviews Total Bell is coming soon, too. Thank you.
And last, but certainly not least, we are very happy and proud to announce that former guest of the show, Matt Goldberg, has announced a partnership with Mattel and in turn WWE to review their figures for his Wrestling Figure Wednesday show, among others, which is really cool.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. He'll be doing some of the Elite Squad reviews on his YouTube channel, youtube.com/MBG1211. And that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool. So congratulations, Matt. We're super proud of you. Still want that Oscar shout out when you get it.
I mean, it's just.
Actually, if you could put in a good word for us at WWE, that would be really nice. I just want to interview Bray Wyatt. Just one time. That's all. Not a lot. And The Undertaker. Yeah, that's not a lot. Right? It's just 2 interviews. I mean, that's not too hard. He's glaring at me. I can feel it. Moving on! I hate you. Moving on. Something else came back.
What's that?
Something that we've been waiting ages for came back. And that is Camp WWE.
Hey!
It's back, y'all. What would be the second half of the first season, which is being termed the second season, is back. Finally, we're getting it. I was very worried we were never going to see it. But here we are. All I can say is one thing. Sassy Taker. Sassy Taker is back, and I'm so happy.
And we
miss that bastard so much.
Yeah, it's awesome. We also got heel Cena, because reasons. He finally did his heel turn. It was a very fun episode. It was John Cena-centric. He's trying to do things for everybody, and so he wishes upon a star to get help, and it's another version of him, and the other version of him does everything, and it's fun. It's a really fun episode.
And I love the ending of the episode where everybody's just like, what's going on right now?
Right, because it doesn't really exist, and yeah. Also, Vince McMahon is awesome.
You know, it's like the more you hear about Vince and then you watch this show, it makes sense why Vince did it.
Yeah.
Because it's like right up Vince's alley in terms of his sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You get it.
You get it. And he's just tremendous in it. His lines are great.
I just love that they got him to do it.
I know.
Like, I just love it. It's just, hey, it's Vince!
But you can tell it's been sitting in the closet for a while because the announcers were referred as Michael Cole, JBL, and Byron Saxton. Been a minute since JBL has been on commentary.
Just a minute. Been a little bit since Byron Saxton and Michael Cole have been together, too.
Yeah, it has.
So, yeah, that tells you everything you need to know right there. So, moving on from there, if you haven't watched it, please check out Camp WWE because we want a season 3.
We want more episodes.
We want more episodes. And yeah, everybody needs to watch it and enjoy it and laugh at it. New episodes coming out every Sunday, which means there will be one this upcoming Sunday, which will make me very happy.
Which means we will probably eventually, we'll talk about them every week. Till they're
done. Gee, we should do a review show for it, maybe.
No, we'll just keep it on this show as a segment.
Okay, fine. be that way. We have too much to review anyway.
Like, that's exactly the point. Make sure you check all the rack extras, because we've been providing you a lot of content in the last 10 weeks. So check
and we'd
them
like
out.
To, yeah, and we'd like to give a huge shout out and a thank you to the fine folks over at NBC for giving us the access to Timeless to be able to review it. So thank you very much for that. And thank you to the fine folks at E for giving us the access to review the Royals as well. So shout out to them for that, because they're awesome.
It's made life so much easier.
It has made so much difference in terms of us being able to do everything, because I don't think we would have been able to get it done otherwise, so
no.
Y'all are lifesavers.
Pretty much. And now you understand why some people wonder, oh my god, how is their show coming out right at the end? That's why. We know people.
We've known what's going to happen for several weeks, and we have to keep quiet about it. That's the only downside, but it's worth it.
It is totally worth it.
So I say we take our first break of the evening, and when we come back, we're going to talk about something else that's maybe kind of worth it, and that's Backlash. We'll let you know what we thought about it. We'll let you know who won, who lost, and who won in Pick'em, so you don't want to miss that. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back. Hey y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Instagram. Instagram.com/RackRadioShow.
Get chatty with CB Radio. Like us on Facebook. Facebook.com/CB Radio Live.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. And I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/RackRadioShow.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
I've been on a long road. The devil right beside me, rising with the morning sun. It's a hunger that drives me. Oh, Lord.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you could a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBoot.com as well. And that music could mean only one thing if you know what we're talking about, and that is WWE Backlash, which aired this past Sunday on the WWE Network, and it was a thing. It was there. It happened. I was really, really tired. I'm not gonna lie, because I had just gotten back from being out of town, so I probably don't have the best impression of this show, and I just have not had the time this week with work and everything to rewatch it. So I'm gonna kind of rely more on your opinions a little bit, because I was really super tired.
Here's the thing. Whether you were fully awake or really, really tired, the impression about this show would not change. This show...
it felt like it was just there. That's what it felt like.
It was there. It tried to be a thing. The endings to a couple of matches had a lot to be desired. That sort of explains that. Let's go match by match, shall we?
Let's go match by match. So, well, let's start with the pre-show.
Bayley versus Ruby Riott.
It was good. It was entertaining. It's one of the better matches on the show, for sure.
It was fine. I really want to see these two have a 15-minute Raw match, not a 7-8-minute pre-show match.
Yeah,
where they're fighting the clock, because that's what they were doing.
I want to see them have a proper feud, because I feel like it could be interesting, because they're such polar opposites with each other that it would be neat to see them feud with each other.
Yeah, the match was fine. Ruby got the win. She was late for the kick, which was a little awkward, but it's things I noticed that really the normal person really wouldn't notice during a match. Because I watched wrestling a different way at times, and it was in this match. It was like I was fully invested in watching the match, so it's like you kind of see different things, and that's what I saw. But good match.
Great match.
Ruby got the win.
So, just a couple notes from the pre-show. And by the way, I don't know, and I certainly have no right to speak on such things, but I don't know who was doing the makeup for this show, for the girls. I don't know if they were nervous or if their work is just a little poofy in general. But whoever did the eyeshadow on Bayley, no. Just... no, please don't ever do that again. That was just, that was a bit much. Like, her face can't handle a lot of makeup to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I shouldn't say can't handle it, but it doesn't, the more makeup you put on her, the less it does for her.
Right.
And this was just literally pink or orange or whatever it was all over her eyes. It was like, oh no, that's a no. I mean, it was not a good thing at all. So, you know, maybe not so much. And Bayley wasn't the only one. A lot of the girls Sunday night, it was just like they tried something different with the makeup, and I don't think it worked for everybody. Just saying. Also, I'll let you read the Otunga note, because I feel like you would serve it better.
So, when they do a segment where it's called, we're reading tweets to as questions, you have to actually look at your phone and read a question. Not just awkwardly hold your phone out like you're taking a selfie and looking down at your notes. That's David Otunga. Peter Rosenberg looked right at his phone. Booker T looked right at his phone. David Otunga is taking a selfie and reading his notes down below.
He's just checking himself out, making sure he looks studly, that's all.
But they're supposed to be reading tweets, and he's just reading his notes.
I know, but he tried. Also, The Miz tried to recruit his wayward sons, and they told him no, that he needed to stay tuned for bigger things. So
Curtis sort of wanted to go, but Bo was like, "Nope, we're no."
Curtis was like, "But I want to go back to the champagne and the limos and the lobster and all of it." And Bo's like, "Nope, we're good."
So now we get to the main show. Intercontinental title is on the line. Seth Rollins and The Miz. Holy crap, this was good.
This is a fantastic opener. This was just great. There was wonderful storytelling. There was a little bit of everything in terms of the action. Love that, you know, Miz worked over the knee and, you know, following Seth sort of crashing it into the post, you know, and Seth selling it. It always scares me when Seth sells that knee. Like, legit, it scares me, because it's like, okay, are you really selling it, or is it actually hurt?
But this was a lot of selling, As you mentioned, he drove his knee into the ring post. Then he missed, like, you usually just, oh, we'll work over the knee more, It's like, nope, we're going right for that figure four. We're going to go right to finish. We're going to try it. We're trying to hit the, make you tap out. And they played the spot really well. They both sold it. The reverse of the figure four, they all, it was really great. There was multiple kickouts of the skull crushing finale. This was a really fun match. Miz was, had his working boots on at this, that night. But in the end, the stomp did in Seth Rollins, or did in the Miz. Seth Rollins retained as your Intercontinental Champion. I really enjoyed this matchup. This was the match of the night, and this was the first match, real match of the show.
This was wonderful. Like I said, this is a great opener for the show. These two do beautiful things together, and Seth had his working boots on, Miz had his working boots on, and I really hope that they're setting Miz up for bigger and better things, because just the work he's been doing over the last year has been nothing short of phenomenal, and he deserves all the things.
Seth Rollins has been the best worker in the last 3 months.
Agree.
He's having the best matches, and yeah, should be a lot of fun as Intercontinental Champion. Up next, Raw Women's Championship's on the line. Nia Jax defends against Alexa Bliss. I liked Alexa's outfit.
She looked cute. I like the blue.
Alexa looked good on offense. Nia, she tried. She tried some things. She tried to wrestle like Vader. It worked at times. It didn't work at times. I think they could have done simpler things to make this matchup better. I really don't like her trying to go to the middle rope to do a Samoan drop because it feels weird. It feels awkward. And it takes a lot of time. But they tried it a couple times. She never hit it from there. But it's like, it's just, I know you, there's the WrestleMania spot, but it just sort of just doesn't work. But the match was good when Alexa was in charge, dominating, and yeah, Nia retains, but it was enjoyable. Better than WrestleMania.
I like that Alexa got a little bit more offense in this one than she did previously. I think Nia is really trying to be impressive, and I applaud her for trying to be impressive. I honestly don't remember a lot about this match, but what I do remember from it, it was okay. It, like you said, it was better than Mania, but there's just a little bit of a style clash with these two, and I don't think it quite works, but they tried. They tried really hard.
Also, be a star. This whole feud was being an anti-bully thing. Be a star. I hope it helped some people out there. I hope it helped little girls out there. I hope it really did.
I hope it's over.
I hope
it's over. In terms of the Mean Girls stuff, I really do. I hope it's over.
Yeah, the I could have done without the anti-bully campaign, but, you know, it is what it is.
They went for a thing. Let's see if it works.
So, up next, United States Championships on the line. Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton. A couple things. One, I love that Randy was doing the Jeff Hardy hand motion to the music. It's fantastic. Like, the camera caught him doing it. It's like, oh, cool. That's funny. Now, Lindsay, you've been watching wrestling a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen a lot of Randy Orton matches over your time.
Mm-hmm.
This was stock standard Randy Orton match B.
Yeah, pretty much. Actually, it's funny because, again, I was out of town for all last week. So I wasn't around when this match got announced. So I saw this when we were, I think, on Saturday, I want to say. When did you have him pick? Saturday, Sunday?
Sunday.
And I was like, when I saw it announced, I was like, is it 2008? Randy Orton versus Jeff Hardy? What? 2008?
And the announcers brought up the last time they've met one-on-one was 2008, the Royal Rumble, for the WWE Championship.
There you go. So, yeah, I was like, oh, okay, but yeah, this was a very much a stock standard Randy Orton match. It was fine. There was really nothing wrong with it. I still think this about Randy. He's going to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it, and that's it. He's kind of at that stage in his career where it's like he can kind of rest on his laurels a little bit, and he does unless it's a really big match situation, which this was not. So he just kind of went out there and did what he had to do, and that's it.
When he's fully invested in a story, he gives it all. When it's just a match, he just does the stock standard Randy match. Jeff won.
No surprise to anybody, Jeff won. Is it Jeff or is it Jeff-fa-fa?
What's a Jeff-fa-fa?
I'm just saying, is it Jeff-fa-fa?
I don't know what a Jeff-fa-fa is.
It's a Jeff, but a Jeff-fa-fa.
Up next, it's time to walk with Elias. Ah, Jeff Dunham. Got it. I don't watch Jeff Dunham, so I don't know.
You've watched at least a little Jeff Dunham.
I've watched a little, but nothing that sort of sticks with me.
Oh, no. No, it's stuck with you.
Anyway, walk with Elias time. You had New Day out there with a drum. With a drum. They wanted to play with Elias.
Okay, why the hell did they not get Big E a bigger drum harness? I mean, I get that's the little bass drum harness that he was using and everything, but you could have gotten that man a harness that fit. I mean, that thing was barely hanging on to him.
Well, he has a big old rack.
He does. He's the whole damn drum line. But that doesn't mean that they can't find him something that fits. This segment was fun. It made people laugh. It was a nice break. But I kind of have an issue with it because it went on a little bit too long. I mean, this is like, what, 5-10 minutes?
Something like that, yeah. Elias by himself was like 5 minutes. New Day came out, you had Rusev and Aiden, you had Noah Jose, Tess Worldwide, Breezango. Yeah.
And then Bobby Roode laid out Elias. I mean, this whole segment was a good portion of time, and it's like, and we'll get into it when we get into the main event of the show, but it's like this, they had the main event go on after 11, and it's like, you could have cut this out, and the main event could have gone on before 11.
But you clearly, they clearly have plans for Elias. They want to get him on the show. But it's like, some of it, you could have trimmed some of it out.
You could have. You really, really could have. Or, you know, you could have put on Bray and his idiot boyfriend versus somebody. Because it's like, I find it a little rude that the Raw Tag Team Champions weren't even on the show, and I wanted to see him. But he wasn't on the show.
That's just selfish.
That was just rude.
That's just so rude.
I mean, I like Elias, don't get me wrong. I think Elias is entertaining, but, you know, if I have to pick between Elias and Bray Wyatt, I'm going to pick Bray Wyatt every time, because that's my boo-boo. Anyway, this was what it was, but it's like, basically, it's like, you could have cut a little bit of time off this and, like, brought the main event forward, and it would have been fine. But I understand what they were trying to do there, trying to get everybody on the show, and it's just like, eh. But yeah, so it was just there.
Pretty much. Daniel Bryan versus Big Cass. You know, you have to be one really talented individual to have a really bad match with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, you do.
And well, Big Cass really stunk up the joint with Daniel Bryan. To the point, I think they told him to go home early.
Yeah, I think they did as well. You know it's bad when they start chanting, "We want Enzo."
And that was like a minute or so into the match.
I mean, they tried. They really, really tried, but there was just such a clash here, and not in a good way, between these two. And you could just see it, where there was a lot of awkwardness, and just, it just wasn't okay. It just was like, eh, okay, all right, it's a thing, it's there. Like, you never want to say anybody outright sucked, because you certainly don't have the right to say that, because, you know, we've never stepped foot in a ring, but it's just like, in terms of watching it, it just felt awkward. And I don't know if it's, they just didn't get the chance to really work together, or this was their first time working together, and they were trying to feel each other out. Like, I'm just not sure, but it's like, this was just not okay, is the best way I can phrase it. But then again, I'm not really a fan of, like, the big guy taking on the really little guy, because I always feel like it's never good when you see it, you know? So, yeah. It was what it was. It was a thing. It was there. We had...
Daniel Bryan won, and Big Cass tapped out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we think they told him to go home early, because...
Because then Big Cass attacked him and laid him out, and, yeah.
Because basically the crowd was not having this match.
Nope. They realized it. Nope.
They kind of noped it.
It was not Daniel Bryan's fault. It was all Big Cass. It's an experiment. Apparently, by the way, when he beat up the midget on SmackDown a couple weeks ago, he went a little too far, and WWE's not happy with him.
That's what I heard. He's maybe in a little bit of trouble.
So, yeah. So, combine that with this and that, and we'll see where things go for Big Cass.
Right.
SmackDown Women's Title is on the line. Carmella versus Charlotte. I enjoyed this one.
This was good. You can tell that Carmella has really, really improved in terms of her wrestling, and she's gold right now.
Her trash talk is great. She's greatly improved in the ring. I really enjoyed them working together. I really did. I thought this may not have been the best match, but boy, it was entertaining. Boy, it was fun to watch. I know there are people who didn't like it, but I enjoy it. I enjoy watching Carmella work, because she entertains me as a bad guy. Like, she entertains me. She keeps me interested. And she has that personality where you get invested into what she's doing. And right now, I'm fully invested in what Carmella is doing.
Same. And I like how she balances Charlotte.
Yeah.
She adds that bit of goofiness to it that Charlotte doesn't necessarily have. Mm-hmm. And it's that lack of respect between the two that makes it really, really interesting to see. And yeah, basically we had Carmella kick out Charlotte's knee, and she gets the pin.
Good stuff. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. And Carmella retains.
AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura, WWE Championship.
There were a lot of people who were not happy at the placement of this match, because they wanted it to be the main event, and it was not. It was the sub-main.
Well, third from the top.
Yeah.
Match was better than WrestleMania. I'll say that. And AJ's cheek, well.
Oh, AJ's cheek. Oh, God. He got cut on the cheek when a chair got involved in the match, and it sliced his cheek open, and he was just There was blood everywhere. It was horrible looking. And then if you saw Sheik on SmackDown, which we'll get to later, you'll know what I'm talking about. My only real issue with this match was the finish. Like, everything else was fine. I love heel Shinsuke. They probably needed to do this to him a year ago. Like, that was all great. You wouldn't expect anything less from these two. But apparently WWE does not know their own rules in a no-DQ match, and there are no countouts in a no-DQ match.
No, that's incorrect. When they specifically say no countouts and no-DQ and no countout, you can be counted out in a no-DQ match. That is,
you can.
You can.
Okay, well then apparently I don't know the rules.
Yeah, because people probably on the internet were complaining about that, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
They don't know the rules. You can be counted out in a no disqualification match. Again, they're not being counted out of the ring. That's the difference. You cannot win by being counted out of the ring. But if you're down and unable to answer the referee's 10 count in the ring, then you can get counted out. There's a two. That's very specific.
Then we're going to a no count out match next.
Probably,
no DQ, probably, no count out.
Probably last man standing.
Probably last man standing is where we're going with this, but yeah. This is, or it's, you know, whoever buys a cup first, because apparently these two idiots do not understand protective gear for their manly areas.
You get a nut shot, and you get a nut shot. We all get nut shots.
There was a double nut shot. There was kicks to the nuts. There was, like, AJ Styles is never having children ever again shots.
Well, maybe that's the point. He has too many kids.
You know, you could go to a doctor and get that taken care of. They just do a little snip snip, and that's all you got to worry about. You can get that fixed. Go get yourself neutered. You don't need it. You don't need Shinsuke Nakamura to repetitively kick you in the balls to take care of that.
But yeah. Like, ends in a double count out because both men cannot continue.
Because they kicked each other in the balls.
Because they kicked each other in the balls.
Like, this finish was just, eh.
I hated this finish. I hated it because
it was stupid.
It was stupid because we're trying to get to another match. Well, we can get to another match by Shinsuke with Shinsuke winning the championship, but it feels like they're not ready to put the belt on Shinsuke, and maybe they won't even put the belt on Shinsuke. Maybe it's staying on AJ Styles.
He needs a rest.
I understand that, but maybe that's the plan. Maybe they want to keep it on AJ. Maybe they don't trust Shinsuke as a champion. Maybe they want someone else as champions. Like, you have something with Shinsuke. Shinsuke is drawing the reaction you want as a heel. He's working better as a heel. But at some point, you have to pull the trigger. And I feel like they have their old phrase of that WWE's afraid to pull the trigger on things. Get to it in a minute. But with Shane, it's like at some point he's now won the Royal Rumble. He lost. Let's backtrack. He's lost to Jinder Mahal in championship matches. He won the Royal Rumble. He lost to AJ in a championship match. He then got counted out at the Greatest Royal Rumble. Now, this was a double count out in here. So it's two count out matches. So it's two double count out matches back to back from Greatest Royal Rumble and back. You gotta pull the trigger. You need to pull the trigger, or this Shinsuke run is worthless. SummerSlam is way too late. It needs to happen before SummerSlam. It has to happen in Money in the Bank. If they wait till SummerSlam, then it's all worthless.
Agreed.
Because that's too far. How many more stupid finishes can you come up with between now and SummerSlam? You can't. I don't want to see them fight five more times. I don't want to see it. I want to see one more match.
I mean, I understand they want to give Shinsuke the big win, but again, you had an opportunity to give him the big win at the Greatest Royal Rumble, and he wasn't the only one that had that opportunity, and they didn't do it, and I'm sure they do have a plan. I just don't know what it is. This was a very disappointing finish for a very good match, and it kind of sort of damages everything that they did a little bit, just because it's like, that's your lasting impression of the match, is two grown men laying in their rings, clutching their balls in pain as a ref counts to 10. That's how this ended.
I would have been fine with this finish if they didn't do a finish similar to this 9 days before. Because if this was the first one, I would be okay with it. But it's the second one in the set.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, eh, okay. All right.
By the way, this is The Rock live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by Gerwick.net and MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. Streaming live on TuneIn. Search Wild Talk Radio Network.
In case you didn't realize, AJ retains. And, well, there's the infamous question of why didn't they do this match at Great Balls of Fire?
Kevin Owens Rollins and Sami Zayn took on Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley.
You know, you would think people would learn by now not to run from Braun Strowman. Apparently they haven't.
Kevin and Sami, when they try to run, they get smashed by murder speed. And both men kept tossing each other into the ring to get beat up. In the end, Lashley and Strowman win when Kevin got sent to the ring by Sami, and Sami wanted no part of it. And then Sami got beat up afterward.
Yep, so it was a thing. It was there. It was entertaining, but
yeah. It was fine.
It was okay. Moving on from that, we go to our main event. Samoa Joe versus Roman Reigns. And everybody was pissed off about this match. Everybody. I've never seen such a strong reaction than to this match. And I'm not even talking about on the internet. I'm talking the live crowd. Ooh.
CM Punk. Boring.
Just the boos. Like, just the level of boos.
Beat the traffic.
Yeah, what was it? One guy recorded the match, or he was recording the match, and which you're not supposed to do, by the way. That's highly illegal. And you hear him go, just spear him so we can all go home.
Basically, yeah. Hit the spear. Let's go home. Like, legit. He was filming the crowd walking out, and that's what he said. Just hit the spear. Let's go home.
Because, mind you, this went on at 11 o'clock on a Sunday night. Monday's a school night, or it's basically a school night. All the kids have to get up and go to school the next day. Everybody has to get up and go to work the next day. And I get it's their show, and they can do what they want, and they can push the time list now because they're not on a hard cut pay-per-view schedule anymore. But it's a little rude to put on your main event at 11 and have it go 15, 20, 25 minutes, however long it went, past the time that the pay-per-view is really supposed to end.
And it's not even that. What made it worse, rest holds at 11:15. Rest hold at 11. Chin locks at 11:15. If this was a smash mouth bulldozing match at 11:15, people wouldn't have been walking out.
Mm-mm.
But you gave them a boring match, a dragged out match that went longer than 18 minutes, though the official time was 18 minutes, but there was a lot of beat up through at the beginning. It's like, okay, he's tossing him around, putting him through a table. All right, we got this. This is going to be cool. This is going to be a fight. And then it's rest hold. And rest
after
hold. The rest hold. And eventually Roman Reigns would escape all the Kikita clutches and hit the spear and win.
Yay! Roman Reigns wins.
Roman Reigns should have won. That's the right call and the direction to go. Pull the damn trigger with Roman Reigns. This is enough.
Please.
Like, okay, Monday Night Raw happens, and we all know it's Jinder versus Roman at Money in the Bank now, and it's going to be a thing, and we're going in that direction, and there will be no Brock at Money in the Bank, and you go from there, and we're going to eventually get Roman and Brock one more time in whatever match at whatever the July pay-per-view is called, one would assume. Just pull the damn trigger with Roman. Just make it happen with Roman Reigns. At some point, you have to. We've been waiting, we've been stuck in the same loop for over a year now, where Roman Reigns, everything's revolving around Roman Reigns winning this championship or not winning this championship. If he's not going to win this championship, then don't put him near the title for two more years and we just put other people in there. If they're going to give him something to do before he gets to the title, like they did for an entire year with matching with Braun Strowman and everything else, it's like if we're just going to just wait around and just do things before we put the title on Roman, then by golly, let's just pull the trigger and give him the belt.
And on the flip side, I'm tired of Brock being gone. I'm tired of the WWE Championship or the Universal Championship not being there. It's just, at this point, it's like the Brock scenario is a great scenario for a few months because it works. You can have him in and out for, you know, anywhere from 4 to 6 months, somewhere in there, and by the 6 month mark, you're kind of tired of it because it's old.
It worked last year because he was around a lot.
This year, he's not around, and he's not going to be around, and it's just like, he's holding your title hostage at this point, and they're trying to sell Roman as an underdog, and it's just not working. And then the whole little spiel about him being held down by the man, that's going to be a discussion between us, I think. We'll save that for next week. But yeah, I mean, this match was what it was. It just was like, I want to see a knockdown, dragout brawl between these two, because I know they can do it. That's the thing. Like, I know they can just completely, totally tear it up with each other. I just haven't seen that yet, and I really like to, but this should have also been for a title, and it wasn't. It just wasn't.
So yeah, Roman Reigns wins, LOL.
Right? He's replaced Cena, kind of. Sort of. So, that does it for Backlash. If you have different thoughts, or you have thoughts in general, you can tweet us at Rack Radio Show, but I say we take our second and final break of the evening. What do you think?
Don't you want to know how you did?
Oh, yeah. Pick 'em. Right. Pick 'em.
How well do you think you did?
500?
No.
Better or worse?
Better.
Oh, how did I do?
You were 7-0.
I picked it perfectly?
So did I.
Wow. That rarely happens.
Now we can go to break.
All right. So when we come back, we are talking all things SmackDown, NXT, Tweet of the Week, your favorites. So you're listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We will be right back. Hey y'all, you want to get social with the Rack? Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/RackRadioShow.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Get chatty with CB Radio. Tweet us at twitter.com/CB Radio Live. And while you're at it, tweet me, twitter.com/Lone Jobber.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can look, but you can't touch. You keep dreaming on the stars above.
Hi, this is Bree,
and this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins, and you're listening to the Rack Radio Show.
Something in your eyes lets me see right through you.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBooth.com as well. And it's been a minute on this one, but, well, Tweet of the Week.
I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Just to tell you how far back these go, April
27th. Oh no, oh
no. Oakland Raiders, we're moving down. We've traded number 41 overall pick for the number 57 and a number 89 overall picks in the 2018 NFL draft. Bray Wyatt replies to the Raiders, "For the love of God, do something." They are, Bray. They're trading down.
They're trading down. I thought you were going somewhere else. Anyway, continue.
No.
But yeah, they did something, sort of.
Mm-hmm. So S. Joseph tweets Baron Corbin and goes, "LOL, another pro wrestler who thinks he's made it before he's actually even done anything. Give me a break. Does anyone even recognize you when you go outside?" And Baron Corbin replies, "You have 31 followers. Please lead the conversation before you hurt yourself." And S. Joseph replies, "You have 31 strands of hair. Pretty sure you've already hurt yourself."
Ooh.
Burn! Baron did not reply. So, Bray Wyatt tweets, "Childish Gambino." Yeah, man. Victor Ovilaria? Sorry if I said it wrong. Probably said it wrong. Tweeted, "I thought you were smarter than these clowns crying over nothing. Another one who was for sale and Democrats purchased. I'm disappointed." Bray Wyatt replies, "I have no political allegiance, friend. I believe in people. I believe in no classifications. I believe in no hidden agenda. I believe in people who aren't afraid to go against the grain to be heard. I call them family." Basically, F off. Love, Bray.
He doesn't believe in classifying people, especially classify himself as...
No. Go to your corner.
So, what's next?
Seth Rollins. Also, quick shout out to the United flight attendant today who didn't bother me about my seat back and window shade. You're the real hero, babe. # team plain sleep. Seth. You idiot. WWE, there's no denying that Hornswoggle put on one impressive performance in the greatest Royal Rumble match. Seth Rollins replies, "Was technically never eliminated." Just saying.
Told you.
That's why I favorited it. Just saying, Braun Strowman versus Hornswoggle is a match I'd pay to see.
Yes, do it. Book it. I pay $9.99.
And that's all I have.
See, when you said back at April 27th, I thought, oh no, she found these tweets.
No, because I think you called dibs on them.
No, not them. Another set of tweets.
What was the other set?
Trent 7. "Someone on this flight has requested the entire population of the plane refrain from eating nuts because they have an allergy. I've got an almond milk cold brew latte that I'm going to spray over the lot of you to weed you out. Flight-wrecking liar." Then he goes, "What if the dead animals you eat on this flight have eaten nuts before they were slaughtered for you? Is that okay?"
Trent!
Continues. "Okay, so plane is broken and may take up to 2 hours to fix. In an incredible turn of events, the man in front of me has opened a bag of peanuts. What a bloke. Share 'em round, kid." Trent 7. "The bag of peanuts has not killed anyone." Whew. Close call there. "Pilot just asked us to cross our fingers that it's fixed." Cross our fingers, mate? Dreadful terminology. Still no...
That's never good when a pilot says that.
Continues. "Still no nut deaths. At least they kept us updated."
Thank you, Trent.
"And I think he lost Wi-Fi and could no longer continue updating us." We continue.
Or he got too drunk or he fell asleep. One of the two.
The Rogue Fan. "In Saudi Arabia, a Jew got a bigger pop than the guy." We all know about Titus World Slide. Dave Bautista goes, "Bro, enough already. We get it. You're super freakily athletic. You don't have to keep rubbing it in. A lot of people worked really hard for that match, and for you to come along and steal the show with your superior athletic ability isn't cool." Is this working?
You're a good friend, Dave. You're a good friend. Mm-hmm.
The Blackheart Project Ciampa. "Little Johnny was last seen being carted out of Full Sail in an ambulance. He hasn't tweeted since April 11th. Nobody remembers who won the battle. They remember who won the war."
Johnny Gargano.
Spoiler alert. Ciampa won the war.
No, you didn't, honey.
I'll stick with Ciampa. So let me scroll up. "I've lived with them for 2 years. I always figured Candace wore the pants in the family since little Johnny clearly did not. I guess I was wrong. Apparently, she is just as weak and pathetic as her husband. Please don't have kids.
I'm, like, seriously waiting for her to beat his ass.
It's gonna come.
I just, at this point, I want Candace LeRae versus Tommaso Ciampa more than I want Johnny and Ciampa. Like, I just want Candace to have enough of his crap, and she just comes out there and she just beats his ass for being such a dick.
Pretty much. So, someone, Nicholas tweets, "Stop trying to make fetch a thing, Graves." Corey Graves, "It's not a thing. It's a happening. I will succeed where Gretchen Wieners failed."
Corey.
What? Just Corey?
Just Corey.
Luke Harper, "I'm not in the Wyatt family. I'm a Bludgeon brother. Don't at me." Randy Orton, at.
Randy.
Rusev, what?
Wait, wait, you didn't get the Bray Wyatt one.
No, I'm getting there.
Okay.
Rusev, what? Bray Wyatt. Hashtag hammer time.
You're such idiots, I swear to God. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that wrestlers have Twitter, but God, they're idiots. They're all idiots. I love it so much.
So for my final thing, we go political.
Oh dear.
Marco Rubio, although written by an intern at Politico, this article is a reminder of how difficult it can be to discuss public policy in political press. Not only did I not back down on the tax cut, I doubled down and added detail for rationale. Monica Lewinsky, blaming the intern is so 1990s.
Quality tweet. That's a quality tweet.
Smackdown?
Smackdown.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
this week's Smackdown. Showdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
So, if you're going to send your general manager out to talk to people and bring up a situation regarding a title that she should probably rule on, don't have her mention the title situation and not make a comment on it. Pointing that out.
I'm just having a hard time with Paige's general manager. Like, I get what they're doing and I appreciate what they're doing with her, but I just am having a very super hard time with her as general manager. And maybe I'm the only one, but it's just like, I don't know if this is working.
We'll see how it goes. Jeff Hardy took on The Miz in the Money in the Bank qualifier. The Miz won and he's had the Money in the Bank.
This is a really good match.
Yeah, good match. I was actually surprised Miz won, because I figured they put Jeff in there for a big spot, but I guess they have other plans for Mr. Nero.
Well, he does have a title, so, you know.
He does have a title.
It does negate some things.
It does, at times, yes. Shinsuke has once again forgotten how to speak English. Renee asked if he had anything to say to AJ Styles. He said, no, speak English. He said AJ was nuts, but they're not finished. They made some nut jokes. It was fine.
You know, one of these days, I really want Renee, like, him to pull that, and Renee Young just busts out some Japanese, and she's like, huh? Huh? What you gonna do now? Huh?
Mm-hmm. Carmella, in an annoyingly awesome fashion, announced next week is the Royal Carmella-bration.
No, it's Melibration.
No, it was a Royal Melibration, since they're in London.
Oh, I know that, but you called it Carmelibration. It's a
Melibration. My bad. Melibration. The Royal Melibration. Speaking of annoyingly awesome, Payne Rice and Billy Kay cut an annoyingly awesome promo about Charlotte's face after her reaction to losing. Like, to the point where Charlotte's actually laughing a little bit in the ring.
Yeah, Charlotte was having a hard time keeping it together in the ring.
But in a qualifier for Money in the Bank, Charlotte beat Peyton Royce. Match was fine.
It was good. It was really good.
I'm really enjoying the heels, Peyton, Billy, and Carmella. They're those annoying heels who get under the opponent's skin and the fans want to hate. They're doing their job.
I feel like if you're going to do the Mean Girls stuff, this is how you do it right here.
Yeah, they're not making weight jokes or anything like that. They're being annoyingly stupid, and it works. And they're cocky about it. That's what matters. There was a bit with Cesaro and Sheamus where their bags were full of pancakes.
Sheamus hates pancakes, by the way.
Yes, he does. And basically it was a setup for Xavier Woods to take on Cesaro. And Cesaro won.
In a fun match. Xavier got a little evil in the match, as I remember.
Mm-hmm. Also, I should guess we need to add him to the list. He, like, bit his lip and is gonna have trouble speaking for a little bit, so.
Hashtag blame Brent.
For Xavier Woods. Like, his mouth got busted open, and I think he bit into his tongue.
A little bit.
We saw that we mentioned in the Backlash review, AJ Styles was interviewed. His cheek is all red. It's going to be a nasty little thing when it's healed. So, it's not, things are far from done between the two. Basically, it was the point of this promo.
Yeah, because it's completely unsettled at this point. Like, what are you supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Your boys did a creepy little promo where they had a whole bunch of tag team action figures. Basically said they have their own toys, and they just waiting for people to come play with them.
I'm sure they don't mean in the way that I'm thinking, but I was very, very proud of it. I liked it. I thought it was good. I thought it was a neat promo for them. Something very different out of the ordinary. I was fine with it.
Becky Lynch was scheduled to take on Mandy Rose backstage. Mandy and Sonya were ready to come out, but Paige said, no. She banned Sonya from ringside because Absolution is dead. And you want to know how we know Absolution is dead?
Mandy's got her own music.
Mandy has her own music. And an entrance that it
Okay, I'm just going to say, it looked like it was from a porn. Alright, it looked like we went from SmackDown Live to...
Softcore porn.
Like, Mandy's Golden Rose type softcore porn. And the way that Corey Graves was getting off to it just made it that much more awkward. Like, it was just like, oh god, I can't deal with this.
Like,
kind of thing.
Like,
because he was legit joygasming during it.
He was. And it's like they had the focus just on her. Everything else was blurred out. And she walked to the ring like no human being could actually walk.
She'd like take a couple steps, pause, take a couple steps, pause, pose, stick her ass out, stick her tits out. And it's just like, this looks stupid. But yeah, and the music did not help.
Did not help. Mandy beat Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch continues her losing streak, so we'll see where that goes. It's basically Emma, Eva, Lana rolled up and on.
They got their Emelina.
We then had our main event. Rusev versus Daniel Bryan in a Money in the Bank qualifier. Good match and legit surprise. Clean in the middle. Rusev wins.
Like, it is a surprise, but it isn't a surprise. Because I don't think they're quite ready to let Daniel Bryan be in a ladder match just yet. I think they're still trying to, you know, test the waters with him and make sure he's really going to be sound before they put him in anything dangerous. So, not terribly surprised that he's not in Money in the Bank. Although they could still put him in. There's plenty of time.
There's plenty of time, but I doubt he's in the Money in the Bank match. But it also puts to the point where if he's going to get a championship match, he's going to have to earn it. He's going to have to work his way up the ranks. And after being beat up and beat up and beat up the last 6 weeks since returning, this makes sense to where his body finally gave out on him. All the beatings he took, whether it's been from Big Cass the last few weeks, so it's like, okay, and the beat up on Sunday where he got beat, won the match, but then was beat up, it's like, okay, it finally got to him, and Rusev got the better of him. So it's like, good storytelling, I like it. It's like, Daniel Bryan can't win everything right away. It's going to take a minute for him to get there. And it's like, people would have been more mad if Rusev lost, I think.
I'm not sure. It's 50-50, it's really hard to tell. But for me, what it is that the last two times Daniel Bryan has won a title, something bad has happened. Knock wood. So I think they're trying to keep him away from the title, and also it's like, you can build to him winning it. Like, him winning the title could be one of the last things he does. And you build to that, because that's really something that needs to happen at Mania. You really need to crown him as champion at Mania. Or
SummerSlam.
Or SummerSlam, or something like that. Where you slowly build to him getting that title. And you just take your time with it, and you really maximize what you can with Bryan. Because you don't have as much time as you would normally, because he is on borrowed time right now. Let's all be completely honest. We don't know how long he has, or, you know, he could wrestle for years, he could wrestle for days. It's just, we don't know.
Also, one loss won't hurt him. Two losses won't hurt him. A losing streak will, but I don't expect a losing streak.
But they did it right in the sense that it's like, you have to hang a loss on him at some point. You can't have him go undefeated. Because then it gets too obvious, so going ahead and hanging a loss on him, that avoids the awkward situation later down the road.
Pretty much.
NXT?
Before we get there, next week, Andrade Cien Almas debuts.
And
what?
Sanity?
They're coming soon. It was announced Andrade's next week.
I know, but I'm just saying, Sanity?
They're coming.
Minus Nikki Cross.
Now NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
So, Velveteen Dream is having a love affair with Ricochet?
No, wasn't quite a love affair.
Not quite, but...
I feel like Dream's interested, but he's just not quite there yet, if that makes sense.
Pretty much. Ricochet said he's every place he's been around the world, he's made sure everyone's remembered who he is. And during WrestleMania weekend, he made sure everyone was talking about him. And boy, were we. Ricochet said NXT is taking over. He's going to take over the brand that's redefining sports entertainment. You can call it confidence or being cocky, but there's only one and only Ricochet. Out came the Dream. He kept saying, no, no, no. Dream Master Ricochet, who gave him the authority to walk into that ring, asking for a title shot. Dream said Ricochet wants to take over, but babe, Ricochet needs to take a step back. Dream said Ricochet calls him the one and only, and you make this look good. And one and only, then we had a one and only chant, and then Velveteen got chanted. Dream said there's only one man, and Ricochet is right, there's only one experience, and you're looking at him. Dream said Ricochet could jump around the ring to make himself a name for himself. Dream said Ricochet could flip or flop, but it's to stand behind the line behind Dream. Ricochet knows he's the new guy. He knows the Dream, he who made the NXT universe say his name. Ricochet said Dream may not be remembered that since his head was kicked off at that moment. Dream said to calm down or Dream Over will be a reality for Ricochet. Ricochet said Dream isn't Ricochet Ricochet. Why does it say Ricochet? Anyway, Ricochet said Dream better enjoy the show and the spotlight because that is because Ricochet is here to steal Dream's show and spotlight. This is a terrible recap. Anyway, good promo.
This is a great promo. Props to the one fan that yelled socks at Ricochet.
Yeah. But bad props to the person who wrote this recap.
Yeah, bad props to the person that wrote the recap. But yeah, basically Ricochet was talking, and I came here to do one thing and some or something to that effect. Somebody in the audience goes, socks? And Ricochet's like, no, not socks. I thought that was really good.
That was really good.
But yeah, nice promo between the two. I would say they're mildly flirting, but I don't think Dream's quite there yet. Like, Ricochet's interested, but...
We'll see.
Dream's like, oh no. No, 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 no.
I was more mesmerized whether was he wearing a hat or was that his hair.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. EC3 took on Raul Mendoza. EC3 won.
Go, Ethan. Go, Ethan.
EC3, the loss doesn't matter at TakeOver because adversity makes the man. EC3 compared himself to a scientist, a mythical deity, and absolute precision in the ring. EC3 said, in the ring, you see him going after victory after victory after victory after victory. EC3 said he was going to rebrand NXT as NX3 because he's the best here, there, and anywhere. Because he's the top 1%.
I see what he did there.
Yeah. I like his catchphrase.
It's good.
It works. I'm intrigued what they do with EC3. Pete Dunne met with Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. They don't like him.
He doesn't like anybody.
He doesn't like them either. But they're going to be partners coming soon.
I like how they're like, you know we think you're trash, right? And Dunn's like, eh. Just like, okay, I don't really care.
The sun's blue. Or sky's blue.
Right.
Dakota Kai, Vanessa Bourne. It was fine.
I liked Vanessa's little skirt thing. That was cute. I did not like Shayna Baszler coming out and threatening Kiwi Wifey. Rude.
She came out, threatened her, then locked in the clutch on Bourne. Because Dakota Kai was scared.
You can beat her up, Dakota. You can take her. We believe in you.
Kathy tried to interview Dakota. Dakota was still terrorized and shaken up by Shayna Baszler, who then entered and wanted her to kick her ass. Didn't happen. But then we heard some laughing in the background. It was Nikki Cross.
Scottish wifey! Very happy to see her and her crazy little self.
War Machine defeated Heavy Machinery really quick. Like 2 minutes, 3 minutes.
Yeah, that was not good for Heavy Machinery at all. War Machine looked good, but Heavy Machinery, that was not good for them. Also, Raymond needs to take care of the situation going on down below. He was a little excited. Just, yeah.
And Cassius Ohno and Tommaso Ciampa had a really good match.
You could tell they taped this right after TakeOver because Tommaso had a gigantic wound, that's the only way I can describe it, right on his ass. And they basically wrapped it in plastic and sent him out there.
That's good. Ciampa won.
Yeah, the match was really good. It was really entertaining.
Yeah.
So that does it for NXT.
It was a solid show.
It was good. I mean, they're starting the build to TakeOver, but this is like the coming out of TakeOver show.
Yeah, we're about 3 weeks out of it, yeah. So we're getting there.
They have plenty of time.
They have 6 more weeks till TakeOver.
Yeah, something like that.
Because it's right before Money in the Bank. So yeah, 6 weeks. So that's it.
That's it. That does it for us. So you got stuff to plug. So plug away.
I'm going to let you start. because you add a little extra to things.
A little extra to things? You mean like the rack extra?
Like, exactly.
The rack extra reviews on rackradioshow.com? That?
That.
You want me to plug that?
That.
Okay, all right. Well, tune in Sunday because we are going to be dropping the season finales of both Timeless and The Royals. Trust me, y'all, you don't want to miss these shows. So if you've been watching all season, tune in because there are WTF moments in both shows. And they're going to leave you guessing the whole way. They're super awesome. And you're going to want to tune in for our super awesome reviews once they drop at 11 o'clock.
One will drop at 10. Two will drop at 11.
We'll let you figure out which one is which. But yeah, Sunday night, check them out. Timeless and The Royals, The Rack Extra Reviews. And stay tuned because Total Bellas is coming soon.
I can tell the first one of Timeless will be at 10 o'clock.
Take all the fun out of this.
I'm just saying, because it's two episodes.
Again.
It's a thing. Also, the Rack Extra reviews the Raw 25 book coming next week.
Yes.
Saturday Night Midnight, CB Radio, the Great Debate for Mothers. Since Mother's Day is on Sunday. Speaking of Sunday, it's WTR Sunday night. Lindsay will be there because it's WTR Fantasy Draft.
Do I have to?
Yes.
I don't want to.
You have to.
Damn it.
Got new rules and everything.
Damn it.
It's going to be fun. Check it out. WTR Sunday Fantasy Draft. Also, see Ray Live at Facebook, Twitter.com, hashtag Blame Raw, one of celebrity that. Monday at Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, live for the Rack. What we're doing? We'll have SmackDown and NXT. We'll see what happens. And we're closing in on 6. A few weeks. So, look forward to that. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube.com/RackRadioShow, RackRadioShow.com. Go to Twitch.tv/WTRLive. Follow and subscribe to that channel so you never know when we play Fortnite.
He plays Fortnite every night, so, you know.
And may stream it once in a while. Because it's a thing. It's addictive. At Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio.
You can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, LNSWRD. Go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Linsward, same as the Twitters. And if you want to check out our very fine sponsors, it's Gerwick.net, MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211, and Fightboot.com. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be back next week. Till then. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.